NBA on NBC.
What is up, everybody? This is Jim Mylock, and you're listening to Podestine, the podcast where we break down the careers of former athletes and decide whether or not they should get a call to the Hall. On today's podcast, we're talking about former defensive end Julius Peppers and whether or not he belongs in the Football Hall of Fame. And joining us in just a moment to discuss Peppers' career and Hall of Fame candidacy, his longtime friend and contributor to Pod of Fame, Dave Wando Wondolowski. But before we bring Wando on, let's talk a little more about Julius Peppers. Peppers had an extremely long NFL career. Came in the league in 2002, left the league in 2018. Came in with the Panthers, left with the Panthers. But in between, he played some years in Chicago as well as with the people up north, the Green Bay Packers. But his primary years, his best years, all with the Carolina Panthers. He was a 9-time Pro Bowler, a 3-time All-Pro first-teamer, and a 3-time All-Pro second-teamer. Not only that, he made the Hall of Fame All-Decade team for the 2000s and the 2010s. So again, a very long career, and in both decades, the 2000s and 2010s, he was one of the best DNs in the league. And that might be because he had 159.5 career sacks, which is good for fourth all time. He had 52 forced fumbles, good for second all time. And 175 tackles for loss, good for third all time. Not to mention 82 pass deflections, 11 interceptions, 4 pick sixes, and 2 fumble return touchdowns. Now, Peppers never had like this huge sack season, never got over 14.5 sacks in a season. But he did have 10 double-digit sack seasons. So just Mr. Consistent. And he never led the league in sacks, but he did lead the league in tackles for loss in 2006 with 18. And actually fumble recovery touchdowns with 1 in 2013 for my Bears. But again, 2002 to 2018, came in the league at 22, won Rookie of the Year, left at the age of 38 in 2018. And now it's his first year on the ballot. So we have a great show for you today. As always, Wando and I go through a bunch of different lists. We build a Rushmore, and we talk a lot about Julius Peppers' career. So with the quick facts out of the way, let's bring on Wando. All right. So I'd like to welcome back to the podcast, longtime friend of mine, and also now at this point, a longtime contributor to Pod of Fame, and that is, of course, I don't even know if I say your full name. I guess I will one last time, then officially you're just Wando for good, but this is David Wando Wondolowski, but we just call him Wando. Wando, welcome back. Happy New Year. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Happy League Championship to you for winning our Fantasy League.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was last year's Sacco in our league. Controversial Sacco, but still the Sacco. I really locked down this year, was not as chatty, named my team the Redeem Team, and then actually did take home the championship. So very happy about that. Wando is the commish of our high school friend league. And I'm still riding high from that. I keep going back and checking the app and looking at my team. It's going to be weird watching football this Sunday without anything on the line.
So I have one league that's still going because it's a 2-week final. So I have that.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm like, because a couple of my guys aren't going to be playing. But maybe the, you know, even though like I love the other guy who got the Sacco, maybe you got good karma from doing the punishment. Therefore, that's what that little extra juice helped you to win.
That could be. But yeah, so won the fantasy chip. But now, you know, our Bears are going to finish up the season. Actually, by the time this is airing, the season will be over. But basically, this Sunday, I got the Bears game, and then it's football playoff. So it's football playoff time. That's an exciting time of the year. And with that, we got to talk about a football player in the Hall of Fame. The class of 2024 is coming up.
Can I interject?
Wando's waving his hand. Interject before I introduce today's topic.
Yeah, before we do that, because this is coming out later, and so it'll be very funny to see how right or wrong we are. Who do you think wins the national championship?
Oh, college football.
Yeah.
I'm going Michigan.
I'm going Washington just because of I don't want Michigan to win, and also I have a Husky. I love purple, so I'm hoping your former Indiana Hoosier,
yes,
Penix, can pull it off.
That's but incredible. We'll see. But these are two Big Ten teams, Wando.
I know
it's a Big Ten championship here.
I know. I'm very excited. I've already looked into when Iowa's playing at Washington and already like making plans to go out for that game. So I love Seattle, and I want to go out there.
All right. So anyway, that's our college predictions. We don't talk college much on here, but today we are not talking college football. We are talking Pro Football Hall of Fame. Class of 2024 will be announced on February 8th, which by the time this podcast comes out will be you know, just a few weeks out. The finalists have been announced at this point, and today's player is one of those finalists, and that is former defensive end Julius Peppers, who played in the NFL forever, you know, was drafted in 2002 and just retired just a few years ago. And this is his first year of eligibility on the ballot and already a finalist. And today, as we always do in this pod, Wando and I are going to talk about his career in Hall of Fame candidacy. So this is a guy who achieved quite a bit in his career, a lot of time with the Panthers, but also with our Bears, and finished out his career in Green Bay. But Wando, when you hear the name Julius Peppers, what's the first thing that's come to your mind?
The first thing for me is it's not even his, even though he has a ton of sacks, it's incredibly good hands. Mm. Whenever, like, I went back through his stats, like, I kept on envisioning having more interceptions than he had, and he still had a bunch for a defensive end. He had 11, and that's just regular season. I'm not even looking. I know there's at least one that he had, because I was looking at highlights that he had in the playoffs, but he was incredible at getting his hands up, popping it up to himself, and then being able to return it. It's kind of like, you know, there's the peanut punch. Like, I don't know, there should be like a Peppers pop up or something. Cause literally it was like the same play, get his hands up. And he just like, almost like a setter in volleyball, he'd knock it up to himself. And then more times than not, he was one of the more athletic dudes on the field. He was not one to just like get it and fall down. There was a highlight I saw of him in a game against Denver where he returned a interception 101 yards and got stopped at like the 1 yard line. This is a defensive end. Like, it was a wide receiver who had to catch him. And, you know, when, you know, the early, like our earliest football of the 90s and you go back to the 80s, defensive ends aren't this fast and athletic as him. So I think about his great hands and how extremely athletic he was.
Yeah, he was a freak athlete. You said, you know, he had 11 career interceptions for a defensive lineman. That's the second most ever. And to be fair, at defensive line, he had 9 picks. He did play a little outside linebacker when he went to Green Bay those years. And his first year as an outside linebacker, he had 2 picks and 2 interception return touchdowns. And again, this is a guy who's almost 300 pounds. He's 6'7". And that's also his 2 interception return touchdowns. He was 34 years old at that point. So freak athlete just in terms of a turnover guy too, because 11 interceptions, but 52 career forced fumbles, which is good for second all time in NFL history. And he scored 6 defensive touchdowns. And again, that's a lot when we're talking about defensive ends. Now, Wando, I'm not going to lie. I am shocked you actually came to me with a reasonable answer here for the first question, because you always are all over the place. Where I thought you were going to go, which I actually wrote down, because this is fairly true for me, one of the first things I think of Julius Peppers is his athleticism, but more than the fact that he played basketball at North Carolina for 2 years before switching to be a full-time football player. Now, yes, there's basketball players in college that have gone to play in the NBA or the MLB. You know, that like in the NFL, like, you think of the tight ends, right? Like Antonio Gates, another candidate this year. He was a basketball player at Kent State, didn't even play football, came and had, you know, an incredible Hall of Fame caliber NFL career. Jimmy Graham played college basketball at Miami, came in the NFL, dominant tight end. That's what you usually see. What you don't see is 6'7", 295-pound defensive ends playing football and then going, I'm sorry, playing basketball and then going to play in the NFL. But not only playing basketball, But playing at UNC, this is some peak UNC years that he was playing at. His freshman year, they make it to the Final Four, and that's the year like they're playing, you know, in the national title. They're playing like Shane Battier, Mike Dunleavy Jr., Jay Williams, Chris Duhon, Carlos Boozer, like those type of athletes, right? Like those are the guys he's kind of playing. So he makes the Final Four with that team. Wando, trivia question for you. There's one other player other than Peppers that played in a Final Four and the Super Bowl. Final Four and a Super Bowl. Julius Peppers, one other player. Who was it?
Final Four and the Super Bowl. God, that's a really good question. I'm trying to think. Can you at least give me this? Is it like before I was born or
no? After? No, this is a player you know very well.
Oh, shit.
I kind of forget he played college basketball, to be perfectly honest, sometimes.
Oh, trying to think that, like, I know he was, I don't know. Is it Deion Sanders, maybe?
No, Donovan McNabb.
Oh,
Syracuse.
My God. Syracuse.
Yes.
I totally forgot.
Yes.
I totally forgot that.
So, yeah. So, again, Donovan McNabb, right? A quarterback, a guy who's a normal kind of height and weight of like a guard type guy. Julius Peppers is almost 300 pounds, but he's athletic enough to play power forward at a powerhouse like North Carolina. His sophomore year, which was his last year at UNC, playing basketball before he focused on football, UNC was ACC champs. They went 26-7. They finished 6th in the AP poll. They only made to the second round of the tournament that year. But Peppers wasn't just like a walk-on type guy who's, you know, sitting on the bench. He went 21-10 in the tournament in that loss to Penn State in the second round, going 8-9 from the floor. Like, he was a main player on these teams before shifting to focus only on football, which I think was the right choice. I think we can all agree on that. But I'll never forget Peppers coming on the draft to talk about this freak defensive end. And then they show him highlights in North Carolina, you know, Tar Heel blue. It threw me off more than I even think I understood at the time. And yes, nowadays there's freak athletes like the Myles Garretts of the world and all of them. Before that, like even the Reggie Whites, the Bruce Smiths, these are all-time athletes, but these guys weren't the size, you know, of Julius Peppers. I think Reggie White was 6'5". I want to say Bruce Smith was 6'4". Julius Peppers is 6'7", 300 pounds, running like a 4.7 40, and being able to play the hoop at a top basketball school as a starter. It always stands out. It's a testament to how athletic he was. But that's one of the first things I always remember, him playing basketball.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. Like, in the early 2000s, it was always interesting because there was a few of those guys who played football and basketball, but more of them did. They played football, and then they kind of stayed with basketball. I always remember one of the more famous examples of, even though he didn't really suit up that much, was Draymond Green. Draymond Green played – he practiced with the football team all the time. He never suited up an official game, but he played in like the spring game as tight end. And you would sometimes see that with like the backup center would also play football, but he like focused more on football. You know, him and Antonio Gates and McNabb are one of the few who, you know, who went from, you know, basketball as a contact sport, obviously, to go from that to a more contact sport. So yeah, no, I definitely thought about bringing up basketball, but I was just like, eh, I can, like, for me, it's always his hands. Like, I always, that's what I always thought.
And you know what? Like, people always talk that kids today are not, you know, they only focus on one sport at early age. It kind of hurts them maybe in some areas. I think this is an area where, you know, having good hands in basketball, having nice touch is extremely important. And was that a transferable skill from the basketball court to football on the line? I really think it is. And again, that's why you've seen a lot of basketball players go play tight end in the NFL because they have those soft hands. I think that's the same for Peppers, but he was so athletic, but so big, they could put him at defensive end, which led him to, you know, be able to get 159.5 career sacks, which is fourth all time in NFL history. You know, have 82 pass deflections, have 11 interceptions. Those hands were not only enormous, but quick, agile. And again, his athletic ability made him stand out among most other defensive ends, especially in the 2000s. Even today, he would be one of the more athletic defensive ends. We just see, I think, more players, not too many, but more players like him today. But when he came in the league in 2000, it was few and far between. But Wando, I do want to move to our next segment here. We call this That Memorable Moment. And what we try to do here is we look at a player's career and say, you know, this play, this game, this season, you know, this was his memorable moment. I let you choose whatever you want. For Julius Peppers, what would you say his most memorable moment was?
So, Jim, for me, it's kind of funny. We talked about the opening. You're like, we don't talk about college football. For me, the memorable moment actually is from college football. So even though all the way back in 2000, I'll be fully transparent. I wasn't the biggest football fan yet. Like, I like to play football, but watching it wasn't really my thing. And then, you know, the 99-2000 season comes around in the NFL, and I get into, like, the Titans for some odd, weird reason because of Eddie George and I think the uniforms. But so I start to watch a little bit more football, and it's one day – it's in the year 2000, and I'm sick, and it's a Saturday. And my dad always watched college football, and it's Virginia versus North Carolina. Why that game's on my TV and why I remember it so vividly, no idea why. I went back and actually watched the highlights. In this game, you know, when you watch college football, because, you know, against some schools, there's definitely some guys who are playing, and you're like, you were probably good at your high school, but – you don't meet up anymore. There's some guys who just jump off like, oh, that guy's real good and he's scary. And that was Julius Peppers. In this game, he had 4 sacks and a forced fumble. And every play, it looked like he was going to kill this Virginia quarterback. I don't remember the quarterback from Virginia's name, but I don't think you really need to remember many Virginia quarterbacks' names. I can't think of many that went pro. But he was an absolute terror on the field. And I just remember, like, sitting up from my, like, I don't even know what I had. It was probably just, like, a cold, and I treated it like I had the plague. But I remember going, like, who's that? And my dad's like, that's Julius Peppers. He's really good. And I was like, yeah, he is. And then, like, I found out later he played basketball. I'm like, this guy's awesome. But that's, like, for me, what I remember is just watching it. And, it, like, it felt like a cheat code. It felt like when you're playing, like, easy mode on Madden and you get around the tackle on every play. That's what Julius Peppers was doing. And so that's, for me, like, my memorable moment with Julius Peppers. There's tons more, you know, as a Bears fan. If I want to be a jerk, it could be, like, when he helmet-to-helmeted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was fine. That was pretty sweet. But for me, it's that game against Virginia where I was just like, oh, my God, who is this monster? And it feels kind of cool to, I guess this is probably like how people feel when they discover a band before they get big. And you're like, oh, I listened to them like before. I was like, Julius Peppers. I knew who he was before he became a Carolina Panther. I can't say I watched a ton more of UNC games, but that's for me what I remember.
Yeah, no, I can't, you know, I can't say I honestly remember. I didn't watch college football much until I was probably in high school. So I definitely didn't see the game you are talking about. I definitely wasn't watching Julius Peppers play at North Carolina. I did see him play basketball first because, again, I watched college basketball at a much earlier age. But that would have not been on my, you know, even on my list of 100 because it wouldn't have been anything to me. What I put down, Wando, is the 2003 Carolina Panthers season for him. You know, this was his second year in the league. It was by not – anywhere close to his best year in the NFL from a regular season standpoint. He only had 7 sacks that year, which was honestly one of his lower totals. But this was a year, you know, Carolina made it to the Super Bowl. And he was a part of that defensive line. I know you and I always throw out like random names from like the 2000s and 90s of basketball players, football players. But like some of these names in this line with Peppers really bring me back. But it was Peppers, it was Chris Jenkins, it was Mike Rucker, and it was Breston Buckner. And they were just like a lot of teams that make it to the Super Bowl or far in the playoffs, it was you know, you win in the trenches. And this defensive line as a unit was one of the best, with Peppers being really the lead on the outside. And when they get to the playoffs, again, they don't win the Super Bowl, but they make it there. When they get to the playoffs, they play the Cowboys in round one. And I remember this specifically, and I bet you've seen this play too, but Peppers had a pick in this game that was really helpful. Picked off Quincy Carter, who was playing quarterback for Dallas that year. Returned to 34 yards, got to the Cowboys 11. But that's not the play I'm talking about. There was a play where Joey Galloway, if you remember him, he was one of the fastest wideouts in the NFL. He was playing for the Cowboys at that time. He caught a ball, and he was running away with it, and Peppers, like, chased him down from behind. And again, this is Joey Galloway, one of the fastest wide receivers in the league, being chased down by a 300-pound defensive end to bring him down. And I think that, like, really showed his athleticism in real time, right? Because people say 40-yard dash times, what do they do in a real game, right? Well, this was a real game. This was a playoff game. And this is a D-end chasing down one of the fastest receivers in the league. I feel like growing up as a kid, Brian Urlacher stood out to me as a young Bears fan, because here was this linebacker who could chase down running backs, who could chase down, you know, Michael Vick. Well, here was a D-end chasing down one of the fastest wideouts out in the league. That has always stuck out with me. And again, this was the season Panthers made it to the Super Bowl with Peppers, where they lost, but he was that main face of that unit. So I have that down for his most memorable moment. But something I want to point out here, you know, when I was looking at what to choose here, this game stood out, but I was like, well, maybe there's a great season for Peppers that I can pick out. And I think this might be, I don't even want to say a knock against his candidacy, but something that stands out for Peppers. You know, Peppers had a long career, right? 2002 to 2018. 22 years old, he has 12 sacks as a rookie for Carolina. At 37 years old in 2017, he has 11 sacks. So this guy's just doing double-digit sacks his whole career. 10 different double-digit sack seasons. But his peak, compared to contemporaries, was kind of low. The most sacks he ever had in a season was 14 and a half sacks in 2008. He was an all-pro first or second teamer that year, not even all-pro first team that year. The highest he ever finished in Defensive Player of the Year award, what do you think it was, Wano? He never won one. What's the highest you think he ever finished in the voting?
I'm pretty sure I know this because I was looking at this last night. Wasn't that fourth?
Yeah. The highest he ever finished was fourth. So I'm going to do more of this with you when we go to court, Wando. But real quick, I jotted down 8 contemporaries for defensive ends for when Peppers played. Jason Taylor, Dwight Freeney, Jared Allen, Calais Campbell, J.J. Watt, Cameron Jordan, Chandler Jones, Robert Mathis, okay? Those are 8 contemporaries I jotted down for Peppers. You know how many of them at least won one Defensive Player of the Year award or were runner-up? Out of those 8, how many do you think at least either won a Defensive Player of the Year or were runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year?
All right, so I know there's at least 2 because I know J.J. won one and Jason Taylor won one. Jared Allen definitely won one, so there's 3. I'm going to go 5.
7 of the 8 either won a Defensive Player of the Year or were runner-up. The only one that wasn't either first or second one year was Cameron Jordan. That's it. Everyone else either won one, or in J.J. Watt's case, 3, or was a runner-up, except Cameron Jordan. So again, Julius Peppers' highest finish, 4th. Never was a top 3 in defensive. Now again, he was as consistent as they come. But if I was to be like, this season, Julius Peppers was the best defender in the league. Now, I think he was a top 5 guy many years, but best defender in the league. You know, he had 18 sacks, 20 sacks. He doesn't have that season that stands out that we couldn't really choose for him from here. And again, he had some all-around great seasons, but 14 and a half sacks was the most he ever had. He never led the league in sacks. He led the league in tackles for loss one season in 2006, and he was actually tied for the lead in fumble recovery touchdowns once for our Bears in 2013 with 1. Those were the only 2 times he led the NFL in any category. So again, is Julius Peppers, was he one of the best defensive ends of his time? Yes, he was. But did he have this like peak that we all talk about? Remember that season Peppers just owned the league that a lot of the great DNs have? Almost all, I like the Reggie Whites, the Bruce Smiths, the J.J. Watts, the Jared Allens, the Michael Strahans. They have those 20 sack seasons, those defensive player of the year seasons. He doesn't have one. And it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb when you look at the rest of his career. I mean, Wando, I don't know if I even knew. I think I knew he didn't win defensive player of the year. I don't think I knew he never even finished second or third. Was this a surprise to you looking back?
It was, but then when I looked into it, it didn't surprise me.
Okay.
And the reason is because both years that he finished fourth, I don't think he would have won, but he would have finished three or maybe two, if not for the fact of two defensive backs having ridiculous years. And I feel sometimes with some of these voting, especially on the defensive end, it's who's ever got the biggest stat.
Yep.
So like some of these years in which, you know, rightfully so, if you have like 20 something sacks, you've obviously impacted the game greatly. But in the 2 years that he didn't, you know, that he finished fourth in 2004, it's Ed Reed when he has 9 picks. And then in 2010, it's Troy Polamalu when he has 7 picks. And the only thing I'd offer in defense to Julius Peppers is I want to compare the two defenses.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like, and I am not taking anything. Ed Reed's one of the greatest, you know, and Troy Polamalu,
yeah,
two of the best players ever at their positions. But the players playing around them, you benefit greatly. The amount of, you know, pressures that Troy Polamalu is benefiting from, so maybe some bad passes are being thrown up. Obviously, he made some incredible interceptions in his career, but it sure does help when you're on probably in the 2010, that's like a top five defense. And same with Ed Reed. You know, you got great edge rushers. You got one of the greatest middle linebackers of all time. I want to go look at that Carolina Panthers team because 2004, I think they have, maybe they have Davis, that middle linebacker at that time, but that dude couldn't stay healthy. 2010, is Luke Kuechly in the NFL yet? And if he is, like, that's the second best player with him. Where Troy Polamalu, he has James Harrison, who was third that year. You also have a ton of, like, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers were known for just having great defenses. So there is a little bit of, it's sometimes the argument you make with best player and valuable. If you take Troy Polamalu off those Steelers teams, yes, it's going to hurt them. But I think the impact of losing him or Ed Reed on those Ravens teams is not as big as the impact it would be as if you would have taken Julius Peppers off that Carolina team.
Yeah, no.
But that's the whole discussion of, like, what makes something valuable, you know, each year where you go, like, oh, like, is it best? Is it valuable? So, like, some of these awards are subjective, but that's the only argument I would make in his defense.
All right, Wando, I want to move to our next segment here. We call this And Twins. And for any new time listeners, all we do here is we look at Ken today. We look at all the busts in there. We go, you know, there's no exact twin for Julius Peppers, but who is the closest to being his twin that's already inducted into the Hall of Fame? So, Wando, I'm curious who you came up with, because I think I found not an identical twin, but they look very similar, these guys.
So I've said it before where I think we've had the same one. This one is the one where if we're not, you know, simpatico on this one, then I'll be shocked. And I picked Jason Taylor.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, finally. All right. So first of all, if we look at it, they match up kind of the same in a lot of categories. They both won Defensive Rookie of the Year. They both were multiple time All Pros, even though they both exactly were three-time All-Pros. There's more Pro Bowls for Julius Peppers. I don't know if you align that more to I don't know, maybe the defensive ends were better in the AFC. Not exactly sure. They both made the Hall of Fame teams for the all 2000s, where Julius Peppers made it for the all 2000s and all 2010s.
Incredible.
So much of that matches up. They both had a bunch of interceptions for defensive ends, where Jason Taylor had 8. So he also did great. And just like Julius Peppers, he was, except for 2002, where he finished second in defensive player of the year, we had 18.5 sacks. He was just like Peppers. He was just incredibly consistent. Besides, if you throw out that 18.5 season, which is, you know, obviously easy to say, but if you get rid of that, his season high, same as Julius Peppers, 14.5. You know, obviously the one thing you give to him is that he had a defensive player of the year award in a year where he had only 13.5 sacks, but he had 9 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns, which is just insane numbers. But yeah, they're both incredibly consistent guys. They were, you could basically pencil them in for around 10 to 12 sacks a year. There's obviously some dips in here. I don't know, their injuries or things like that. But for the prime of their career, you're like, pencil them in for somewhere in between 10 and 12. And that's what they were going to do. Incredibly consistent, very good players. They both kind of fit into that new mold of a defensive end. So I think if you look back at what our fathers looked like at a defensive end, they were still like D linemen, but just like a little bit slimmer, like, but barely. And like, they relied a lot on power. They're like, I'm going to bull rush you. Some of them had, they weren't necessarily fast, but they had like a quick first step. Jason Taylor, Julius Peppers are that new breed of like, no, like, even though Julius Peppers was like, I think he was listed as like near 300 pounds, he wasn't a heavy 300 pounds.
Yes.
He was a slim, and same with Jason Taylor. He's like 250, and you saw more of what we have now, which is those speed edge rushers, where, hey, these guys are quick, agile, like you can drop them into coverage, no worries, where I'm sure there was a few plays where they dropped Reggie White into coverage. I'm sure it wasn't a lot of them. But you got to see that kind of, it's the new age speed, like, you know, edge rusher, which we have now. Like, you look at Von Miller, you know, Von Miller's not a big dude, but he's, you know, he's, I think you're going to do an episode about him. I think he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. So that's who I thought of. I was like, similar play style, similar statistics, also in the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go Jason Taylor.
Yeah, I don't have any notes, Wando. I think you really summed that up perfectly. Like I said earlier, Julius Peppers, this 6'7 speed rusher on the outside, freak athlete, great hands, comes in the league. He's kind of, no one had really seen that before. Jason Taylor was really the first one to, like, Jason Taylor came to the league a few years before him in 97. And then Julius Peppers kind of followed him in that same exact mold, just a little taller and a little larger, yet the same speed, but Taylor was just a playmaker, as you said, you know, could pick the ball off, always found the end zone, 9 touchdowns in his career, got a lot of sacks, super consistent. And the size and speed, again, of which he was kind of not seen before. It really is the Jason Taylor to Julius Peppers to then, I think, the Myles Garretts of the world, the 6'6", 6'7", edge rushers that are leaner, all muscle. You know, they don't have guts, these guys. These guys somehow have 6 packs and carry, you know, 250-plus pounds on them. And Jason Taylor, you know, made the Hall of Fame right after his career ended once he became eligible. You pointed out the one thing that Taylor does have above Peppers, though. He did win Defensive Player of the Year. He was another year runner-up, so he had more of those, I guess, quote-unquote, peak seasons where he led the league in something. But in terms of, like, how they played the game, how their numbers lined up across their career, it's almost identical. I mean, Peppers had 20 more sacks in his career, but he played, you know, about a couple seasons more. The interception numbers are almost the same. Everything across the board. I mean, this is one of the closest twins you can have because, again, Julius Peppers was just kind of like almost a refined version of Jason Taylor coming in that was just taller and longer. I think Peppers did. I'm trying to think. I don't think Taylor ever made the Super Bowl. Again, it's a team sport, of course, but I don't think Taylor had as many playoff games under his belt. Taylor actually had no sacks in his playoff career. So Julius Peppers definitely got more play in January and February. But Taylor has those peak seasons. But in terms of size, how they play, statistics, it's almost a perfect one-of-one twin. They didn't really look like each other at all in real life. But in terms of everything else, these guys, I mean, Wanda, this is one of the easier ones we've ever had. I didn't have to think about this too much. It kind of was there for us just to pick.
He was literally the first person I thought of. And I was like, because sometimes with some of these twins, you know, I've stretched it a few times. This time was one of the few. I was like, all right, done. All right, moving on.
Yeah, did not have to spend much time here. So with that, Wanda, let's go to our final segment. We call this Court.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And I have a few different things I want to do with you here. They're all, I mean, I think they're fun. I think you might think they're fun too. But the first question I have, which I thought we might have tackled at the top, but now I want to tackle it here. You know, Julius Peppers played 10 years for the Carolina Panthers. And I think he was one of their first great, like, star players. And not only that, I think he's one of the better players in the franchise's history. Now, again, the Carolina Panthers have never won a Super Bowl. They just started as a franchise in 1995, along with the Jaguars. But, you know, they have made two Super Bowls, which is not terrible. I mean, Wando, they made two Super Bowls, and our Bears have made one in that same time span. So you can't knock them too much. They just haven't won yet. My question to you, Wando, is Julius Peppers the GOAT in Carolina Panthers history at this point?
There's only one other guy you can make the argument for.
Well, I got a few names at the top here I'm sure you have one in your head, but like the three names I have circled here along with Peppers, you know, Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and then Luke Kuechly. Like, those are the three others I think in competition with Peppers. What are you thinking?
I was going to go with He Hate Me. No, and honestly, like, I think it's a two-man race. It's Steve Smith and Julius Peppers, only because of I think Hall of Famers for sure. Which, you know, we might get into earlier, spoiler. But I think it's a two-man race, and the thing is, I think Peppers might be the better overall player, but people remember Steve Smith more now because you see him. It's just kind of one of those things about like the personality where like Julius Peppers is a pretty chill dude. Like, you don't see him out in the media very much. Where you see like Steve Smith on the NFL Network, he's, you know, taking shots at Jerry Jeudy. Like, and that Steve Smith was in like the prime of like, I feel at a time of, I'm not calling him this, but it was like the diva wide receiver. It was like he was trying to like get his, where like I don't think he fit up to the other ones, because if he were more of an actual diva, he would have like forced his way out of Carolina like way earlier. Where like if TL were on those Carolina teams, he would have asked for a trade like 7 years before Steve Smith ever got out of there. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Steve Smith, but Julius Peppers is right on his heels.
Okay. Wow. See, I think for me, like, everything you said just made a lot of good points. And now I went to go look at some stuff, and now I was going in with Julius Peppers is, but you know, Steve Smith played a good amount more games than Peppers did in Carolina. So he has got to be on the games. You know, he was also, I didn't realize Steve Smith played such a big role on that Super Bowl team, that run in 2003 I was talking about earlier.
You remember that, killing the Bears when we just couldn't guard him?
I do. I guess I just thought that was like later on. I mean, he had 8 postseason touchdowns for Carolina in 9 games. Like, he came up big for them. You might have you might be onto something here with the Steve Smith over him. I honestly, when I originally wrote my list, I had Peppers, and then I had Newton, and then I had Smith. But I'm going to stick with that because I actually took a good look at it, but I have no problem with the Steve Smith pick. Is it fair to say, though, no doubt Peppers is on Carolina Rushmore?
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Okay.
If I'm making the Mount Rushmore, it is Steve Smith, Julius Peppers, Cam Newton, He Hate Me. And then
He Hate Me. It's gotta have Jake DeLome.
No, we're gonna have Jake DeLome and Luke Kuechly off to the side. We'll give them like little tiny monuments. I don't even want He Hate Me's faces on it. I just want the back of his jersey on there.
That's completely fair.
Maybe Ricky Prohl, who knows?
Ricky Prohl. I think he had a touchdown in the Super Bowl, or at least an NFC championship.
He did.
Okay. Wow, we're really dropping some names here. Okay. So that was the first thing I want to say. So he's one of the best players in a franchise history, which, Wanda, we're getting old because the Carolina Panthers are almost 30 years old now. I didn't really – I was like, oh, they're a newer franchise. Well, they are, but they've been around for 30 years almost now, so they're not that new. Okay, so – earlier, I was talking about kind of contemporaries, right? I talk about that all the time. And I want to try to rank Peppers among his contemporaries for when he played. Again, he played a very long time. These are not play like there's some players at the tail end of Peppers' career I'm not going to include in here. It's more like when Peppers was one of the better players in the league, which was for a very long time, who else was out there and how does Peppers compare? So Wando, I have the same eight names I kind of ran through earlier about who won Defensive Player of the Year, runner-up, etc. So what I want to do here is I'm going to name a player. And if you think Peppers was better, I want you to say Peppers. If you think the other player was better, you're going to say their name. So like the first one here, it's J.J. Watt. I think J.J. Watt better than Peppers. So I'm going to say Watt. If you thought it was Peppers, you'd say Peppers. So that's how we're going to run through this exercise. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So J.J. Watt.
It's crazy because I'm not going to explain for all of these. It's just that I J.J. Watt has less sacks than Julius Peppers.
He does.
But, you know, you can't take three defensive all. Like, I can't take that away. So I got to go J.J. Watt.
Three Defensive Player of the Year awards. Like his peak was all time.
Yeah. So I gotta go J.J.
Okay. Jason Taylor.
That's a toughie. That's his twin. I got to give him the nod. Taylor.
Okay. Freeney. Dwight Freeney.
Peppers.
Okay. Jared Allen.
Ooh. Peppers. More consistent.
Calais Campbell.
Peppers. Easy.
That's another 6'7", 6'8", guy.
Giant man.
Kind of like a Peppers light. Cameron Jordan.
Peppers.
Chandler Jones.
Peppers.
Okay, Robert Mathis.
Peppers.
Okay. So we have him ranked third behind Taylor or J.J. Watt and Taylor among these eight contemporaries. Again, Taylor is in the Hall of Fame already. J.J. Watt, I believe, when he is available, spoiler alert, will be a first ballot Hall of Fame, guys. Not too many players have won three Defensive Player of the Year awards. At his peak, there was no one better. Jared Allen has consistently been in the running for the Hall of Fame since he's retired, as has Dwight Freeney. I mean, these are some all-time guys here. Again, almost all these guys won a Defensive Player of the Year or runner-up. So 3 of 8 for me, especially when your career spans almost 20 years, that's pretty good company there. And I don't want to say this is like golden age of defensive ends because there's been a lot of great defensive ends in NFL history. I want to say when Reggie White and Bruce Smith were roaming around, whoever else was in that group, that's the golden age. But I mean, is this one of the better position groups we've had in the 21st century, Wando, like defensive ends? Cause that's some high caliber names. And we're not even talking about all the outside pass rushers that, you know, are kind of like defensive ends in today's game, like the DeMarcus Wares of the world. None of the defensive end, have we been very lucky to be blessed with some of these pass rushers we've seen in the last 20 years?
First, Jared Allen, I said Peppers was more consistent. I'm looking at Jared Allen's stats, and I may have misspoken, because Jared Allen did have a very, very consistent stretch. In his 22 sack season, he was second in Defensive Player of the Year voting to Terrell Suggs, which is kind of insane. I think we have been spoiled, and it's kind of the shift in how drafting has worked. You know, when we were, if you look back in the 90s, you know, this is back when people were taking running backs first. And, you know, so then if you were really athletic as a kid, you're going to go play what position paid you the most. If that's what I was going to do, if I was good enough to be a pro athlete, it's like, oh, running back gets paid a lot. Quarterback gets paid a lot. Then you've seen this shift, besides obviously the skill players with wide receivers and quarterbacks, the people who get paid the most are like a ton are edge rushers and left tackles. And so you've seen all these extremely good athletes who, you know, maybe back in the day, you know, maybe they lose some weight and try to play one of those positions. They're like, no, I could be this athletic and still get paid and be very good at my job. So I think that's why we've seen this uptick in extremely good edge rushers. It's because it's, you know, now they see it's a very lucrative position to play. You know, when you're looking at draft, no one's ever going to turn down a really good edge rusher. So I think that's the reason that we've kind of been spoiled for the last like 20 some odd years, where you see these freak athletes who are sticking to, you know, edge rusher, outside linebacker, whatever position you want to call them. We've been spoiled by that, which I think is awesome.
All right. So going with that theme of we've been spoiled, you and I were both born in the 80s, 1989, both of us. So we've been watching football for, you know, not since day one, but I think some of my first seasons I remember are 97, 98. So, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And then we've been watching ever since. And again, the game's evolved. For a long time, it was defensive ends, a few defensive tackles. They were getting all the sacks. We saw a lot more 3-4s, outside linebackers. And again, there's the Lawrence Taylors of the world, of course, but most of the time it was DNs. But with outside linebackers becoming more and more prevalent in defenses, the DeMarcus Wares of the world, the Von Millers of the world, Joey Porters, these are the guys getting a lot of the sacks we're watching, Terrell Suggs. So what I did, Wando, I made a list here, another list, same game, of all the pass rushers. So this could be DNs, outside linebackers. I didn't include D tackles, even though like the Warren Sapps of the world, the Aaron Donalds of the world. I just want to do like people whose primary job is to rush the passer. Like Donald just gets there because he's a disgusting human. Warren Sapp, same kind of deal. Most part, we're talking DNs, we're talking outside linebackers. So I have a list of 17 of them here since we were born. 8 of these 17 are Hall of Famers, and there's a couple others that when they retire, they're going to be Hall of Famers. So this is the best of the best. And I want to do the same exercise here to see where Peppers lines up for you. So this is basically the top pass rusher since you and I were born in 1989, excluding a few defensive tackles like Sapp, like Donald. I don't know if there's another one I'm missing right off the top of my head, but those are the two that stand out. John Randall. Who?
Randall, John Randall.
Oh my God, John Randall. Yes. Okay. So those three, we're going to exclude them. So same exercise, Wando. Let's see where Peppers lands. Okay. Some easy ones up front. Reggie White.
White.
Bruce Smith.
Smith.
Michael Strahan.
Strahan.
Richard Seymour.
Peppers.
Chris Dolman.
Peppers.
Kevin Green.
Oh, WCW legend. Peppers.
Terrell Suggs.
Peppers.
DeMarcus Ware.
Ooh. Peppers.
Derek Thomas.
Thomas.
Von Miller.
Peppers, but that might change in like 2 years.
Khalil Mack.
Peppers.
Joey Porter.
Peppers.
TJ Watt.
I'm projecting TJ Watt.
JJ Watt.
JJ Watt.
Clay Matthews.
Peppers.
James Harrison.
Peppers.
Jason Taylor, you already said Taylor earlier. And then for fun, because I think the three are going to cover it. If I said Sapp, Warren Sapp, so we're going D tackles now too. Warren Sapp, Aaron Donald, John Randall. What do you have him there to make it a perfect 20? I'm giving you.
Oh, so Sapp, Randall, and who?
Aaron Donald.
I'd probably take all three of them.
Okay.
All three of them over Peppers. Because those are...
I think at first I was going to not include them, but those guys are pass rushers. I don't care that they're tackles. Yeah. So, okay, out of 20, and again, these are some all-time names. We have White ahead of him, Bruce Smith ahead of him, Michael Strahan ahead of him, Derek Thomas ahead of him, who again, and Jason Taylor. Those are all Hall of Famers. We have J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt ahead of him. So he would be 8 of 17, but if we want to bring in Sapp, we want to bring in Aaron Donald, and we want to bring in John Randall. He's 11 of 20, but everyone ahead of him is an all-time great, and behind him are a number of Hall of Famers like Richard Seymour, Chris Dolman, Kevin Green, and again, several others who will one make it one day. I mean, I think that's pretty damn good company, but also, Wando, again, in our lifetime, we have seen some hell of pass rushers here. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, there's like a bunch of people we could have added to this list.
And then one just fun question here. If you were the quarterback and you were going to get hit by one of these people, who do you want to be hit by least?
Oh, God. Out of all the people, out of
everyone. All the people I just named.
God, I'm trying to think of who. I'm probably just going to go with the biggest dude. I feel like Warren Sapp probably sucked the most. Cause like his sacks, like he would like lay on people a lot, and that would just suck.
Yeah, he didn't seem like a nice guy to be sacked by. Like Reggie White's like helping you up.
Actually, Reggie White.
He's the same. He's the same
too. So both would be the same. Be like this. You're just down there. You got sacked. Like this sucks.
Yeah, Michael Strahan's like on Good Morning. He's all nice. Like I'm not worried about those guys.
He might be like, hey, like nice play. Where like Warren Sapp would definitely be talking a lot of shit.
All right, Rondo, final verdict here. Two questions, and we're going to switch up the first question. This is a pretty obvious one. Again, this is more of a legacy pod to just give Julius Peppers some airtime because he was a great player for our entire life. I mean, he started playing when we were not even in high school yet. Juan, I don't even know if we really knew each other that well in middle school. He started playing, and by the time he was retiring, I mean, we're almost 30 years old at that point. So he basically played our entire life when we were watching football. Julius Peppers is going to be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. So my first question is not so much, do you think Julius Peppers will be in? But my first question is, do you think Julius Peppers will get in on his first ballot, which is, again, this year? And then my second question is, do you think he'll get in? So my first question is, do you think he should be first ballot? And then my second question is, do you think he will get in first ballot?
I think he deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. His stats are just too hard to ignore. Like we think J.J. Watt's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Obviously, J.J. Watt had a few more injuries, which lowered down his career. Julius Peppers had, let's round up and round down, he had nearly 50 more sacks than J.J. Watt, which is insane to think about. J.J. Watt, yes, you have J.J. Watt who had his peak seasons were out of this world. He had a four-year stretch where he was a monster. But consistency-wise, it could be argued Julius Peppers was a more consistent player over his entire career. And if I'm going J.J. Watt's a for sure Hall of Famer, if we really want to take this thing seriously, Julius Peppers should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So moving on to your second question then, which is, do I think it'll happen? I think so, because some of the things that sometimes keeps guys out of being first ballot Hall of Famers, like where it's like media guys who have a grudge, that's not a problem for Julius Peppers. You know, T.O. wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer because some media guys were just holding on to it. They're like, we'll put you in later. No one I've ever heard has any, like, maybe there's someone out there who's like, no, Julius Peppers did this. But to my knowledge, I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about him. Seemed like a pretty nice dude, played at a high level for a very long time. He did play in some major markets eventually in his career. You know, he played here, and then he played in some garbage city up in Wisconsin. You know, he played in Carolina. I just feel like if the Hall of Fame is to be taken seriously, even though Devin Hester should have been in already, Julius Peppers with 106, like rounding up to 160 sacks, has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, or else what are we doing here?
Yeah, so for the first question, you know, should he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? I'm looking at the ballot right now. There's 15 names on the modern era finalists. They select five. I have Julius Peppers down as the best player on this ballot. So if I'm voting, he's the first person I would vote for out of those 15. So I have him as, yes, 100% should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Fourth most sacks, super consistent across his career. One of the better athletes to ever see play the position. Again, I think Jason Taylor kind of changed the position a little bit, but Julius Peppers, like, nail in the coffin, and I think did it a little better than Taylor. I would have Peppers actually ranked ahead of Taylor. But again, that's picking nits there. It's very close. Do I think he'll get in? I do. I would be very surprised if he didn't. But again, the Hall of Fame can be interesting sometimes, right? As you said, Terrell Owens had to wait a year or two. That's silly, right? The guy had like 150 touchdowns or something like that. DeMarcus Ware didn't get in his first ballot, and that guy had 138.5 sacks and one more All-Pro first team than Peppers did, won a Super Bowl, 9-time Pro Bowler. He waited a year. And then Kevin Green, who is in the Hall of Fame, has more sacks than Julius Peppers had. He had 160 sacks, so a whole 0.5 more than Julius. But Kevin Green had 160 sacks. He retired in 1999. He didn't get into the Hall of Fame until 2016. So I think some people might be like, well, of course Peppers is the first ballot. Look at those sacks. Again, I agree. And I think he was a much more complete player than Kevin Green was. But the Hall of Fame can be odd sometimes. And a lot of the players on the ballot right now who have really great careers have been waiting quite a while. I mean, you have, you know, Darren Woodson was a safety in the 90s for the Cowboys. Eric Allen played in the 80s. Like, some of these guys have been waiting a very long time, and sometimes voters are like, well, they've been waiting. They've waited their turn. Now, you know, Calvin Johnson got in first ballot. There's been a number of people. I think the push for first ballot's becoming more public now, kind of like the Baseball Hall of Fame. I do still think he gets in, Wando, but if he didn't, and he got in like next year, I wouldn't be entirely shocked. I just don't really see a reason to make him wait.
Yeah, and you know, to make this quick, it just, yeah, sometimes it's just like a backlog of positions, and they're just kind of looking at it of, I think sometimes there's some writers who are like, it's very a big deal to be in the Hall of Fame and like be a first ballot. And I think there's some writers who are like, you're in the Hall of Fame no matter what, it doesn't matter. Yep. And so you have seen that shift of like first ballot, or in baseball, it's like, were you unanimous? You know, like when Ken Griffey had like one guy who didn't vote for him. So I think it's kind of like a self-made problem for the NFL Hall of Fame that they have to deal with. You know, whether it's restraints on how many people they allowed to pick and things like that. So yeah, I wouldn't surprise me, but I would be a little discouraged if he wasn't in a first ballot.
Yeah, I mean, again, we will see relatively soon. Again, they announced some kind of right before Super Bowl weekend. And again, Juan, I'd be surprised, but if he's not in this year, I can't imagine a world he's not in the next 2 or 3 years. He's an obvious Hall of Famer for me. And if, again, unless something comes out that I just am not aware of, that we're both not aware of, Peppers is a lock in the next 2-3 years. But I think he's almost a lock this year. Again, I look at it, and he's a clear number one guy for me. Some people might say Antonio Gates over him, but I would go Peppers over Gates any day. It's not even really tough for me. So that is all we have today on the pod. Wando, as always, love having you on, and we'll continue to get you on here as long as you still have time. Anything? I don't know. You don't got the pot of whatever Wando pod. Is that happening anymore? Do you have a podcast people can listen to? Is that
not
over?
Not really anymore, just because of the fact.
Are you retiring? Is it in the rafters?
No, it's not in the rafters. It's just right now, you know, you as someone in my profession, especially if I need the job hunt, I don't need someone finding me ranting about it. Did Michael Jordan get suspended for gambling? So right now, probably at least until, like, I'm doing a Michael Jordan thing, you know, I'm taking time off for my family. So maybe I'll come back with a 45. We'll see.
All right. I like that. Come back with a new number. But Wando, as always, appreciate you having on. I hope you had a great New Year, a Merry Christmas, and hopefully, buddy, I'll see you soon.
All right, take it easy.
All right, I want to thank Wando again for coming on the podcast, about Julius Peppers. That is all we have for you today. If you don't already, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Pod of Fame. If you've done all that, you have done your homework. We will be back with a new podcast on Monday. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Take care. Yeah.